Wrestling Daft presents The Daft Sheet. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Daft Sheet, the B show that is fast becoming the A show on the Wrestling Daft Network. I am back in the editorial hot seat, Chris Jack here as editor-in-chief of our weekly, bi-weekly, whatever that is. However often we appear, we come on and we dissect the week's news in wrestling. And joining me this week are the same fellows that joined me last time. It's Billy Stacking. Brian Stacking, nice wee touch there on the video, and Lewis McKnight. Lads, how have you been enjoying your wrestling this past week?
I've actually watched some, which is a rarity.
That helps.
I know, it's always good. It's been fine. I've made sure that I hope I'm not booming through, as it seems to be we're having technical difficulties this evening. But I've made sure to also put my video onto landscape so I don't look like Krang again for putting any clips up. So, no, it's all good. All good here.
Good stuff. And, Lewis, what about yourself? Were you at the WWE show last week?
I was, yeah. I went with, 25th row tickets. I was back at Y and about 20 pints over the day later, we thought, no one's going to notice two guys in bright orange jumpsuits just walk to the second row. So we just went straight forward, sat down right in the middle of the second row. Two guys beside us went, are those your seats? We went, no. They went, fairs. And just clinked our glasses and went, enjoy the show, boys. Spent £70 on second row tickets, given Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits healthy pelters throughout the event. Brilliant.
Smashing it in. What a time. Did you get any pelters back at all?
Aye. Grayson Waller said during the show, I don't know if it's seen it, he came out for a Grayson Waller affected show, and he was like, oh, it's not like the usual ones. We've got the no plants, we've got cheap chairs, and then he pointed over in our row, whether it was to us or not, and went, a bit like your mum. And Bobby Lashley was my pal stuck up the wanker sign to him and he gave it back. So
nice.
Bit of back and forward, but I don't know if that's even PG in the words of R-Truth, but it was good. And then followed straight up a few days later with Crown Jewel, so a lot to talk about in the wrestling front this week.
There certainly is, and we...
So it's been enjoyable, mate.
Good stuff. Well, we're just going to get cracking right into it. The usual format of our show is filling the front page, the back page, the page three with all the gossip and the TV pages as well. Depending on how much time we've got, we'll maybe do TV pages and page three or just one of them because we've got a cracking quiz lined up. And we've also got Simon Miller of Pop Culture as our centrefold this week. Two-part interview. Well, it could be a one-part interview, but then you'd be listening to the whole podcast for days on end. So I've split it into two hefty chunks that'll make you feel nice and fuzzy and warm and fuzzy in your tum-tum when you listen to it. But we'll get cracking on with filling the front page. Lewis, seeing as you attended a show over the last week, I'll come to you first. What has been the most newsworthy bit of wrestling news, I suppose, for you over the last 7 days?
I'd have to say, even though it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, I'll have to go for the hottest act in the whole of America right now. And a true national hero, fulfilling his destiny by winning the United States Championship, Logan Paul. So there's a lot of debate on this one. People saying he's this, he's that, he's a podcaster, he's a streamer. Nothing on my podcasters, like streamers. He's saying this and that. He's not a wrestler, but he's took to wrestling better than I've seen really anyone with that amount of training forever, as long as I've been alive, especially from the celebrity scene. People say Bad Bunny this and that, but Bad Bunny's not got anything on what Logan Paul does, especially with his psychology, and especially, I don't know if you watched the match, but with Ray as well, there was a part in the match where you could say it was bad positioning by Logan Paul, but Ray went for a springboard moonsault and Logan Paul kind of moved into the way on one knee and just caught Rey Mysterio, lifted him up and sort of seamlessly put him into a power slam. So, the big news in the world of wrestling for me is Logan Paul living out his childhood dream, maybe for the last 6 months when he tried to find someone to take the attention off of his skeletons in his closet, we could say. But yeah, Logan Paul, I don't know your opinions on him, but I think he's fucking brilliant.
With my loose and ever loosening grasp on what actual wrestlers in the wrestling scene think of Logan Paul, he's the respect that's grown for him amongst like trainees that I know, guys that I've wrestled with in the past, and you know from speaking to Simon Miller about it as well the other day, the respect that he's getting is growing and growing and growing. You might not like him as a person, you might not like some of his values and some of the things he's done in the past. You might not like him purely because he's a YouTuber, but in terms of the chops that he's got in the ring, you can't deny it. You can't deny how good he is, and it's infuriating. It is infuriating to see someone that like you don't really want to like doing something that you do like and doing it so well. And obviously, you know, the higher ups in WWE see him fit to be a standard bearer for them and giving them allowing them to compete and therefore win the US title at Crown Jewel on Saturday. It's a big thumbs up for them. For Logan Paul, I suppose. Billy, what about yourself? What's your opinions on Mr. Prime?
That's it. Was I think 8 matches he's had, and they've all been top quality matches. I mean, the only drawback really is it's on SmackDown. So at the moment, the world title, the Universal title, whatever its long name is on Roman, who appears in and out. Logan is not going to be there every week. He's not going to be there once a month to defend it, probably. He's probably going to spend the next couple of months just riling up an opponent. Like, I think LA Knight seems to be the name that's been bandied about. So there's negatives to it. And I don't really know anything about Logan Paul except one video where he was in a Japanese forest. So that's my kind of knowledge for him. So he's taken to it. People don't like him. People do like him. It's making money. It's making news. WWE are looking at their bank account and going, yeah, this is worth it. This is worth doing. So, yeah, the match, I missed some of the match because it was the one time the fireworks were actually going off near our house, so we went to go look at them instead. But I saw the saving bit when Logan slid to one knee and made sure he got Ray, which, like you're saying, he's infuriatingly good. That's the word. I don't know. He's so good at this stage. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. It's horrible. Get him out now.
I seen someone as well on the Impulsive podcast. He had KSI on, and he was talking about how he's done a lot of things in his past, whether it's YouTube streaming, Vine being adapted or whatever, where you get a lot of hate. There's people that just want to hate on you, say everything's shite. They can have an opinion whether it's good or not, but he says he's happy that he's finally doing something that people kind of have to respect him. You know, the way he is, no one can really say you're shite because everyone just knows they're lying, you know. What I mean, he feels like it's something no one can sort of try and take away from him because it's just there in front of your face how good he is. So,
do either of you have any other YouTubers in mind that you would love to see make the transition from whatever they do on YouTube to being in a wrestling ring?
I'm 33. I barely watch anything. the only YouTuber that I watch is Alex Webb, and he's actually a wrestler, so it doesn't really help. He does the gaming videos. So if he wants to become a wrestler elsewhere and go to other places, great, because Alex Webb's ace. So there you go.
What about yourself, Lewis?
I think there's one guy in the sort of streaming world right now, and he actually got invited to the Ballon d'Or the other day. Speed.
I've seen that guy.
He's daft as a brush. So I think he would be brilliant just going in there. Even if it was like a Royal Rumble, you could see this happening, like a Royal Rumble moment or something, or say another Saudi show where there's a 50 man or something, just have him come in, bounce about, and then just get thrown into the 17th row or something by Braun Strowman. It's all these guys, they know what they're doing, they're just so entertaining and they make all the money in the world, which is annoying because we work five times as hard and push 800 viewers a week. So, you know, it's one of those annoying things.
Do you think obviously there's a lot of money in the Saudi stuff that goes on outside of wrestling as well. We've seen that recently with the Tyson Fury and Ngannou fight and loads of UFC stuff and whatnot going on there. And there is a big rise or the big swell in the YouTube boxing and stuff like that. Do you think at some point there is going to be a YouTube fed where it will be YouTubers doing it? You know, I saw Davey Davey calling out some, who was it, Simple Simon off YouTube, off TikTok. Davey Davey called him out for a wrestling match because Simple Simon was trying to call out Ryback, of all people.
What fever dream are we in?
I know, I don't even know some of these words that I'm saying. But do you think, you know, it will get to, do you think it is a possibility that you know, whether it's DAZN or whoever it is that puts together all the YouTube stuff, do you think eventually there could be a YouTuber wrestling fed, the YWF?
I think the thing is with that, maybe I'm completely underselling boxing here and being paying ill-informed again. However, anyone can go in there with 4 weeks of training and get their head kicked in. You know what I mean? It's like in boxing, whereas with wrestling, it's, spoiler alert, it's predetermined, which could maybe, so it's probably YouTube boxing, to be honest, but it's one of those things where you can't really create entertainment throughout a whole event like that with someone who's not really a wrestler at all, who's not been in a wrestling ring at all. Chris, you'll know this more than me. You would need probably a good couple of months at least to look semi presentable in a wrestling ring, whereas you might be gassed out after. I could probably go in a boxing ring tomorrow and create some form of entertainment with a YouTuber, just get my head kicked in. Because that's a lot of it is what it is. Whereas I couldn't go in a wrestling ring tomorrow and create any sort of entertainment for the fans. I don't know what your opinion on it.
I don't think it's too much of a shot in the dark to think that it could happen. But I just think I'd like to see, you know, like guys, maybe not necessarily just YouTubers, but social media guys. I'd love to see Superhuman. However, as you say,
oh, that guy.
I'd love to see him go on an actual top rope shout. This is for all the juggalos and juggalettes, and drop a hefty elbow on somebody.
Didn't he get a booking? He got a booking somewhere. It was GCW or something. I'm sure. I saw he got booked somewhere.
That Joey Janela would fight. It seems like he's enjoyed one of Joey Janela's lists or something like that. But fuck this shit. As he would say. That's a very good starter for us, Lewis. Billy, what would you put as your favourite thing to go on the front page this week?
Well, I was almost going to go for the breaking news as we're recording of NXT possibly going to the CW, which is very interesting considering NWA seem to be getting booted very quickly off the CW. But that's not what I'm going for. It's the bidding war that seems to be happening for Will Ospreay.
With Billy Goat, friend of the show.
Yeah, exactly. It all links in from the last show we did. It seems to be everyone's interested in him, obviously. And it's now just down to where he wants to go. And in my opinion, AEW was set up for life, money-wise. But for some reason, because he's just been there, and he's been very complimentary of it, I think TNA is probably his next step. Because to get that buzz going, the TNA name next year. So I think it's just very interesting where Ospreay's going to go and what Meltzer's going to do about it as well, because he likes to have his pants down by his ankles when Will Ospreay's in a wrestling ring. So it'll be interesting to see if Ospreay goes to WWE, how that's going to play out. But yeah, there's just so much interest right now on where Will Ospreay is going to go.
I think, from the TNA stuff over the last couple of weeks, I think it would be a perfect fit for them, because he's becoming more and more of a mainstream star with every passing week. Every time that he's appearing on AEW, his stock's getting bigger. The fact that WWE are interested in him, it's making him more and more attractive as well. But with TNA, Ospreay, like when TNA started, when they brought in like Angle and Christian and Mick Foley and that, the new 2024 TNA is a product that could be built around Will Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the AJ Styles of the 2024 TNA. He could be him as the young kids say these days. And you know, he's obviously not done himself a disservice with his outings for Impact over the last couple of weeks. So I reckon, you know, if WWE are interested in him, great. We'll get some great matches. The Seth Rollins feud is there, then ready to go. If he signs with AEW, we're going to get more of the Don Callis stuff. We're going to get more of the Aussie Open stuff. We're going to get him against Omega again, I'd imagine. But TNA could, if they were to position the proposition correctly for them, TNA could be a very, very good fit for them. What about yourself, Liz? What's your thoughts on Big Willie?
Clip that. I'm not going to answer. no comment. No, but I'd say about William Ospreay in particular here. I think it's... How old is he? 30s?
Just early 30, 30
around that age.
That, yeah.
I don't know whether he's got... I think the offer's always going to be on the table for WWE, for him, to be honest.
If he wants to go out... He's 30 years old and 1.85 metres tall.
I just think that... I think that the offer's always going to be there. I know he says this is the one where this is his time, you know, he's 30, this is his offer. He wants to have this portion of his career, the next, say, 5-year contract that he gets somewhere. He wants this to be the one where he's remembered, and it's the one where he wants to make the most money. So I think that financially and sort of in the aisle that he might want to be, WWE would be the best option for him. But to put on the best matches and to maybe get the most out of his sort of the body that he can and the talent that he's got, TNA would be the best bet for him. So I think in terms of AEW, they've got a working relationship with TNA as well. I don't know whether they will now that it's changing. However, it's a complete shot in the dark where you can go to any wrestling company tomorrow. He's that good. You could go to, you have his pick, he's probably got 100 different DMs from wrestling promoters, and he's probably even got one from your mate that will remain unnamed. He'll be the first one asking that will come sign for his company. Cut that if you need to. But next thing, I think WWE, I know we love TNA here, and it's 2024. Looks like it's going to be TNA's biggest year ever for in-ring talent and stories that are going to tell it platform-wise, money-wise, everything's on up for them. But there's only one place in America where you really want to go to get your name out there and become the biggest star in wrestling you can be, and that's the WWE. So if I was him, I'd choose the WWE, but I'd say TNA's not a bad option at all either.
Well, I mean, he's got his pick of the bunch, really. You know, he could go anywhere he wants. His stock's never been higher in the mainstream. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where the Billy Goat ends up in 2024. So, two really good options there for the front page. I think because we don't have a definitive on where Will Ospreay is going to end up as yet, I'm going to give the headline to yourself, Lewis. I'm going to give you the front page this week with the headline, Logan Paul hits his prime for US title win. So we'll go with as a headline. On to the back page now. It's been quite a week for wrestling shows. I have proactively taken a step back from watching anything this week because I was on holiday. Well, let's say on holiday, I was back in Lanark for a few days celebrating my daughter's birthday. So I deliberately tried to stay away from as much wrestling as possible and still ended up watching the last two matches on Crown Jewel. So I'm interested to hear what you guys have picked as your slots for the back page. Billy, I'll come to you first. What should be getting the paper boy's fingers all mucky on the back page this week?
Well, I watched all of Crown Jewel and I watched the TNA. What's going to call TNA? Fuck it now. They're now TNA. we're doing it 2 months early. They uploaded their Glasgow, five of the matches from their Glasgow show. So I watched a couple of those and I just really enjoyed all of them. The ones that I saw, Grado, Trey Miguel, Emerson, Jane, Trinity. But the one I'm going to pick, conveniently enough, is the one that won our SWN Match of the Month for October, was Motor State Machine Guns against Josh Alexander and Eric Young. And the crowd loved it because they got to see the Motor State Machine Guns. I think this first time they'd been teaming in Scotland anyway. And it's a Glasgow crowd and they're always hot for wrestling, full stop. And it was just a little bit of throwback, a little bit of modern day TNA, a little bit modern day, all that kind of stuff. But you got to see the guns do what the guns do. Even though Shelley, unfortunately, was injured from the match and he couldn't compete for the rest of the tour. It was just incredible to see the crowd react and enjoy. It was actually weirder to see people I know in the crowd reacting to it. But just to see the guns in Scotland, it was just ace. And Alexander is one of those guys where I didn't get... He was a technical guy, so I'm not. That's not my kind of wrestling that I enjoy. But my God, that guy's good. He's so good. And Eric Young's Eric Young. So putting all four of them together, one match, it was a good time.
We spoke in the first section there about, you know, looking forward to what 2024 is going to bring for TNA with the amount of new talent that they're signing and whatnot, but MCMG, Motor City Machine Guns, they're timeless. They're absolutely timeless when it comes to TNA, and they're one of the first things I think of when I think of, you know, classic TNA as well. I remember watching clips on Bravo or maybe even the wrestling channel of them back in the day. I'm pretty sure they were at the TNA, the Impact tapings that I was at that I spoke about last week as well. I'm pretty sure they were in one of the matches on that. And the fact that they are still as vibrant, still as energetic and athletic as what they were, you know, almost 20 years ago, and still, you know, putting on absolute bangers, as you say, Billy, it's testament to the craft and the graft that they've put in. Was there any sort of interesting spots or dynamics between the two teams? Because obviously, Motor City Machine Guns are more your sort of speed and aerial team as opposed to the ground and pound of Josh Alexander and Eric Young.
Well, that's what makes the clash of styles always makes for a good time in that kind of respect. Speed against power, against technical and high flying. It was just, you just got a little bit of everything in that match. It was just one of those where you watched it. It was, I mean, Shelley and Sabin are a little bit older, so they're not as fast, but they're still pretty bloody fast in the ring. But he had Alexander throwing them about as well, and Shelley and Sabin aren't small guys either. They just look small because everyone in wrestling seems to be like 6 foot and terrifying. But yeah, it was just, it just gave that a little bit of a like you're saying, you think of TNA, think of Impact, Mortar City Machine Guns usually are up there and gives you just that warm feeling in your stomach. Close at the tum-tum you mentioned, a warm feeling in your tum-tum when you watch seeing the guns go out and do their usual spots, and they're doing their cool tandem moves and back and forth, and it was a great way to introduce people that may have been, hadn't seen TNA for a while, to Josh Alexander as well, who, like I say, just, yeah, it was fantastic, and I'm glad people are. I was a TNA guy, and then when it became Impact, I started falling away. I'm glad that I'm going to be a TNA guy in 2024.
Good stuff, Billy. That's a solid choice. Lewis, what do you think has been a better match than the one Billy just described there this week?
I've got just one question for Billy before that. How did our boy Grado get on? Speaking of fast-paced and athletic, reminded me of him.
It was a Grado match, which I think that kind of sums up. But it because of the crowd, it just made it all the better, because you got his shenanigans, his usual things, and Trey Miguel was. He was all in for it as well. He was getting frustrated and all in for the trip ups and all the funny stuff that goes with it. And I've seen Grado probably do that exact same match good 10, 15 times. It's still entertaining. I think it's because he looks like he's enjoying it. So when he's enjoying it, we're enjoying it as well, because he's the everyman. So he had a good showing. It was, like I say, it was a Grado match, so I don't think Meltzer is going to be too worried about throwing out the stars. I think Grado's got more duds than anyone else in TNA history. But
100% success rate in duds.
But it was good. It was a good thing.
All of the clips that I've seen of the TNA tour from last week, whether it's been, you know, Grado putting stuff in. On Instagram, Tom Campbell putting stuff up on his socials as well, and then just the various wee clips that I've seen. It looks like every night of the tour was a success. It looks like all the fans were like proper into it, and that, you know, again, we've kind of became TNA after this last couple of weeks. But it looks as if the UK reactions are anything to go by, that it is going to be a really, really hot product in 2024.
Yeah. I'll go for a match where I thought it was probably going to be more shenanigans as opposed to a good match. Obviously, you know, these two wrestlers can put on a good match, but I thought with the circumstances surrounding it, there'd be more judgment day-ness. So I'll go for Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. It was a weird one, because I watched this and it seemed, I don't know if it's just the way they've booked it, but there seemed to be quite a lot of importance on the title and quite a lot of importance on the match itself and the two superstars. So already before the match started, that kind of gave it a bigger fight feel and more of a reason to watch it. And I'm getting, I know I'm away to give it my favourite match of the week, but I'm getting the vibe off of Seth Rollins that if you complain about Roman Reigns having the same sort of format to his matches of he's barring the guy, he's giving him trash talk, and then the guy gets a near fall and he gets him with the spear. What happens in every Seth Rollins title defense is he gets a bit of offense, then he gets battered the whole match, and then he has the sword back, kicks out with a big move, and then hits the stomp. But they're both so good that I don't even care. You know, it's one of those ones, like, they're both so good that the match is just, you forget about that. You know, you forget that you've seen the sort of format of the match 10 times. And with this match, it started off with Seth Rollins doing all he could to get on the sort of upper hand, and then just one quick move from Drew McIntyre had that back hurting. It was kind of like a WrestleMania match, because it got to the end and Rollins hit the stomp and I thought, well, that'll be that then. Drew kicked out. The crowd went nuts for it as well, for a for a Saudi crowd who usually go pretty big for the returning guys, you know, your Cena's, your Triple H's, your Undertaker's, your Goldberg's, etc. They were giving them their all for this match as well. And then Drew hit the Claymore, and I don't know how many people have kicked out of a Claymore.
Has very few. Very few, certainly in this run. It's been quite few. There's been very few of them done.
I think this must be the first time someone's kicked out of a Claymore. And then Drew, I don't know what podcast it was. It might have been Cultaholic I was listening to, or What Culture, but you can see the heelish tendencies in Drew. Not so much heelish, but the sort of less pandering to the fans, just doing what he needs to do, kind of. Because for the first Claymore, he set up, you know, the 3-2-1. But for the second one he went to hit, there was no count for it. He just kind of tried to hit it out of nowhere, and Seth Rollins avoided it, hit the stomp and won. But you're getting the feeling that this was Drew's end of his tether, you know. And that added to the 4.5-star, whatever rating match you'd give it, sort of added to it. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it throughout. I was swaying between, because it was an earlier pay-per-view this time, I was watching the Seth Rollins Drew McIntyre match on the telly, the Arsenal Newcastle match on my phone, and at points I couldn't even tell you which one was which. So quick shout out to VAR there, thanks for completely cheating us out of that game. Glad Newcastle got beat today. Craig DL, hope you've enjoyed that one. And it's also 5-0 Athletic Madrid against Celtic, so hope you're enjoying that as well, Steve. I'm just shooting on everyone, sorry. Back to the match. I seen that match, and even though there was a few good matches after that one, still stuck in my mind, so that was the one I'll go for this week.
Cool. The big kind of chat that I'd seen in the kind of lead up, there was an excellent promo or the segment kind of thing, video package that they put together for Drew. I think it was last week's or the one before, and you know he was talking about his broken dreams and whatnot. Did they come out to Broken Dreams?
No.
See, if I'd been watching that, I'd have been very disappointed straight for the off for not hearing it. Even though, as I admitted in the group chat last week, it's only been in the last maybe 10 days that I've realised how much of a banger that song actually is. I just remember the kind of the piano chords at the start of it and then kind of tuning out. But having listened to it a good few times on Spotify on my drive home from work, it's up there. It's now up there.
Elk, it's coming.
The weirdest thing about it, though, is Drew came out second. So the show started up, well, they had the pre-show, but the actual main show started off with Seth Rollins coming out, which made you think, oh, Drew's got a big special entrance, then it's going to be, he's going to win, clearly. And that was the reason why I put down my $9.99, because I wanted to see Drew win the title. And he didn't. The bastards. The WWE have rinsed me out of a tenner for a month. Pricks.
Bring it back.
Credit card. Fraud. Fraud. So it was just, the match was really good. But I think it was really good because it had that build of the, you think Drew was going to win. And you think it was going to be because of that build up, the broken dreams, all that kind of stuff. And when he did win, when he didn't win, it kind of deflated you, which I suppose was the point. But I don't think that's helping Seth Rollins be a babyface, because he's beating guys that people want to see win the title, or at least get their final accolade, or get like Nakamura. People were dying for him to be a world champion, defeated. Sami Zayn just on Monday, defeated. Drew defeated. He's beating all the people that you wanted to win the title, which is making people boo him at the same time. And it's just a weird thing going on in the world title scene. And then, of course, Priest tried to cash in afterwards, and that went a bit weird because Sammy ran out and grabbed the briefcase and ran away. It's just, the match itself was good. Everything around it is odd. But
yeah, I find it a weird scenario as well, because it would almost suit more if it was the face chasing the title right now, with Damian Priest kind of lurking around. because what I sort of wanted for what I thought would be a good situation for WrestleMania this year would have been, say, maybe it can happen, maybe Damian Priest is going to hold it, but Cody Rhodes has this whole 2 year story to finally win the belt at WrestleMania, and then he gets cashed in on instantly.
Oh, I'd love that.
And I think that would have been a good situation for, say, Seth Rollins was chasing the title of Drew, and then Seth Rollins finally won it, then Damian Priest can cash in. But I don't really know where they're going to go with it, because if Drew cashes in and if Drew beats Seth Rollins at the next pay-per-view, Damian Priest kind of, why would you do that? You know what I mean? It's him with this story with Seth Rollins, and say Damian Priest wins the belt before Drew does, I don't think I would like to see Drew versus Damian Priest, and I don't know where they kind of go with that story as Drew's kind of turning heel as well. So I think they've got themselves in, maybe they've got a big long-term plan for this, but I see them sort of pushing themselves into a bit of a corner, like Billy says as well, with Seth Rollins kind of becoming a bit of an afterthought in the Drew McIntyre story here as well, and a bit of a placeholder for the next two champions to sort of get their crown. But it's intriguing me. It's intriguing me to see where they go with it, which I suppose is what they're after, you know. They want you to watch Raw next week, even though you know it's going to be some form of the Judgment Day versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. However, I'm looking forward to every episode of Raw to see what Damian Priest does with that and how Drew sort of comes back from that loss as well.
Awesome. Well, given that I haven't watched either of those matches, I think I'm going to give it to Billy in this case for the back page, because I can see myself going back and watching Crown Jewel at some point, but I'd actively go and seek out that Motor City Machine Guns versus Josh Alexander and Eric Young match. So the headline we're going to go with on the back page is "Well-Oiled Machines Still Motoring On." So that's one apiece for the headlines there. At this point, I am going to drop in this week's centrefold. I had the privilege to speak to one of the guys that my own wrestling persona was loosely inspired by, which you'll find out about in the chat here. I spoke to What Culture's Simon Miller. So this is going to be part one of the interview, because we spoke for about 25 minutes or so. So I'm going to split it into two chunks, one this week, one next week, where we talk about what's been going on with them with TNA. We talk about you know, the mental health side of being so consumed by wrestling. We talk about the travel schedule that he's had over the last wee while, and what it's like to see fans with signs for them at pretty much every wrestling show that's televised these days. So it's a good chat. So the first part of it is going to drop in here now. Simon Miller, welcome to the Daft Cheek. How are you, fella?
I'm good, thanks, buddy. How are you, man?
Not too bad. Just been taking a wee bit of a well-earned break from the day job over the last wee while to kind of recalibrate, but glad to be back in front of the laptop and speaking to one of the inspirations that I've had for doing podcasts and my wrestling stuff cool. over the last couple
my
of
pleasure,
years.
My pleasure, man. So thank you very much.
No problem at all. As many listeners to the Daft Sheet will know, I used to do a bit of wrestling myself up until earlier this year, and one of the things that got me into it was wanting to be a sort of a dirt sheet writer type character kind of thing, like a wrestling sheet writer. And I actually spoke with one of your recent competitors, Joe Hendry, a few years ago when I was starting off that kind of thing. And he actually, I know you're shaking your head there, Simon, but he actually said to get inspiration for what I wanted to do in and out of the ring, to look to two men, Mr. Tom Campbell from another parish to yours, and yourself. So Joe was very, very complimentary back, you know, 5-6 years ago. I don't know if he's still as complimentary to you these days after what's happened in the last few weeks. But
well, he beat me, so he should go back to being complimentary now. I think that's fair.
He should do. He should do. And that kind of takes us nicely into, you know, what's been going on with you over the last wee while. You have turned up in Impact TNA as part of the recent UK tour and the Turning Point show that they did. How did that all come about for you, and how happy were you to be involved with that?
Oh, man. Well, I don't think I could have been happier, to be completely honest. Like, it was one of the coolest things. Well, no, let's rephrase. It is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in pro wrestling. And, you know, look, I don't mind this at all. I genuinely don't, because I know my bread is buttered and I really appreciate how I did get my foot in the door. But I'm under no illusions that a lot of the bookings I do get around the UK is because people want the What Culture guy. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. That's perfectly fine. But with that, you know, much like everything, we have to have you got to bring balance to the force. You know, a lot of pro wrestlers didn't know that I trained, didn't know that I was taking it seriously, didn't know that I was already planning to do this before I got to What Culture. Like I say, all these things happened all at once. It was like a life-changing moment for me, which is super cool. So, you know, since day one, there has been a lot of, oh, I can't book the YouTuber, and the YouTuber can't do this, and I don't want to lose to the YouTuber. Look, if it's not a YouTuber, it will be something else. You know, he's too small, he's too big, he's too fat, he's too whatever. I get it, and it's cool. So to kind of, I don't want to call it too much of an obstacle, but to have that going on, you know, at first, and then you fast forward sort of 6-7 years, not even that long, 5 years, and, you know, you get the chance to appear on a pay-per-view, even if I have to retire tomorrow, I'll be a pretty happy man, because, you know, not in my wildest dreams that I ever think that I would make. I wanted to, and I'm, you know, I'm quite a driven and a tenacious individual, but I'm also, I don't know, I just didn't actually, maybe I needed more belief in myself, I don't know, but I never actually thought I'd get there. So the fact now, I can tick that box, and how do we phrase this in the right way? I'm very happy that we didn't just do a straight up serious match. I'm happy that we got to have some fun with it. I'm happy it got to be a little bit goofy. So it basically ticks a lot of my boxes, and hopefully as well it showed people that, you know, if you do believe in yourself to a certain degree and you keep on hammering on the door, maybe eventually somebody will let you in. So yeah, it was a very, very cool experience, and I can't thank Joe, even though he's a moron, I can't thank him enough, and I especially can't, you know, thank Impact/TNA enough for having me on. It was an awesome day, and everyone was really welcoming and really kind.
Do you think that, you know, being paired up with Joe for the Turning Point, do you think you could have had any better of an opponent than him? You know, you said that, you know, you love the goofy side of wrestling, you love all the pomp and circumstance that comes with it, and when you're in the ring with Joe Hendry, and even out of the ring with Joe Hendry, you know that's exactly what you're going to get. Was that a big deal to you to be on that stage with him?
Yeah, it was, especially because, you know, it wasn't just the Impact thing. For years, I don't know if Joe's got the same, don't want to speak on his behalf, but for years I've gotten people going, oh, I'd love to see Miller versus Joe Hendry, I'd love to see Miller versus Joe Hendry. And I got that too, right? Joe is a very creative dude. Hopefully that's how I come across as well. It's certainly how I try to come across. So, you know, getting to, you know, come up with a plan, whatever the right type of word would be, where it kind of suited both our sensibilities was excellent. Like, it really, really was. It made the process even more fun. A lot of work went into all of that, and a lot of driving that, you know, that I don't mind, I'm not against it, but, you know, there was a real sort of push in that 2 weeks to try and get this stuff going, just due to location and where everybody is based. But yeah, no, I do think it was probably the best person that I could have been in there with, because, you know, as much as he's still annoyed by my ups and downs and stuff, Joe gets it. He still gets it though, right? He does. He gets it. He totally gets it. And yeah, that just allows you to have more fun. And that's what I'm all about, whether it be the YouTube stuff, the wrestling stuff. Of course, I want to put my best foot forward and I want to impress people as best as I can. But I also want to make sure that I'm having fun myself, because I truly believe that if you're not having fun, nobody else can have fun either. So, you know, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's all about having that fun and making the crowd enjoy it as much as you're enjoying it as well. Nick, you mentioned there about, you know, bookers wanting the YouTube guy, or that maybe being a kind of a negative side of things. Do you feel that the likes of all the kind of the YouTube boxing and stuff like that, do you feel that that is something that, because you are a social media guy, you don't get the respect of, you know, the proper wrestlers as such? That in the same way that the likes of, you know, KSI and guys like that get a bit of grief off the boxing guys.
Yeah, but only a few. Only like we're not the majority. The majority of people have always been very, very nice to me and very, very welcoming. I think just because after a while, you see, Miller's trying really hard. You know, Miller mm-hmm. is doing all these shows. He's trying to get better. But it's the same with anything. Because it's on a lesser level, I suppose the numbers are less. And maybe if it went up and up, the numbers would increase. But no, it's always just been a handful of people here and there. But it's like anything. Like if I sit here right now and say, oh, dude, you're the best. You're so great. I love you. And then as soon as we're off the call, someone comes in and goes, I think you're a jack bum. All you're going to remember is that comment, right? That's just what happens. That's yeah. just what happens, isn't it? You're like, oh, I can't believe someone said that to me. So, you know, you can go in a locker room and everyone's really happy to see you and really nice. And then someone goes, oh, I don't want to lose to the YouTuber. And you're like, oh, great. That's what I'm going to remember from this interaction. But again, man, I don't mind it at all. Like, you can't expect to. It's like after this match, I got a load of positive comments and thank you to everybody. And I got a load of negative comments. And I genuinely mean this. Thank you to them as well. Because one, you're allowed to have your say. You have that blessing. You really, really do to have your own opinion. But also, I feel privileged that I get to be part of the conversation. How cool is that? People tell me, Millie, you've got no talent and you should never been on pay-per-view. Yeah, but you know what? I was on pay-per-view, so I don't give a shit. And that's the same with the wrestling, man. Somebody being backstage, and of course, you know, I'm not acting like I'm some kind of tank and this stuff just bounces off me. It doesn't. But to be backstage at a wrestling show and somebody say, I don't want to lose to YouTube, I'm like, hey, man, at least I'm here. Do you know what I mean? That's what matters. That's what counts. And this happens in all walks of life. It happens at people's jobs. It happens in people's relationships. You can't expect everything to be a completely clear ride. So all you can do is learn from it, accept it, understand that usually when people say negative things, it's actually coming from a place inside them that they're struggling with. Yeah. And it's nothing to do with you. And again, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you just get past it. But I think remembering all that stuff and being cognizant of it is hugely important. So yeah, I'm sure if all of a sudden I was in WWE tomorrow, much like Logan Paul, again, I understand he's way above me, but it's the same thing. Oh, what's that guy doing there? And all you can do is put your best foot forward and just enjoy the ride. Because mm-hmm. wrestling's not important. It's excellent and I love it, but it's really not that important.
Were you surprised, you know, at the weekend there with Logan Paul taking the US title? Was that something that was maybe... Did it come as a surprise to you seeing, you know, where he's came from, not the you know, the standard way that people rise to prominence in WWE, to see him, you know, taking that title?
It surprised me about how good he's got in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But no, in terms of the day, like beforehand when I was doing my predictions, I said that he should win it because it just makes all the sense in the world. Like, I understand there is this idea in wrestling, you've got to pay your dues and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. But we live in a very different world these days. And if you can bring in someone like Logan Paul, who has the celebrity that he does and the following that he does, and he generates money, but he can also back it up in the ring. I mean, I think by this point, best celebrity wrestler, if we're going down that, if that's what we want to call it, ever. There's no contest. Like, Bad Bunny is a close second, but Logan Paul's just wrestled mm-hmm. more. That's all it is, because Bad Bunny, I suppose, is busier. But, you know, that's just happenstance. So, yeah, I think we should make him the US champion, which we've done. I think we should get him on television more, as long as he wants to and his schedule permits it. And I think we should try and turn him into the best possible wrestler we can be, because if he continues on his current trajectory, he could be a world champion. And why not? Why not? Like, look, Logan Paul, the person, I think is controversial to say the least. And mm-hmm. he has done things that I've been appalled by. But I have. But I can't judge him on that now. Because if he mm-hmm. did that with all professional wrestlers, well, then why are we even watching? Right? Yeah, like, do you know what I mean?
Be very few that we could kind of stick a hat
right.
on.
We'll watch Bryan Danielson and Mick Foley fight, right? That's what we'll just do every single week. Yeah. So you can't judge him on that now. He's in there and you can only, in terms of the conversation we're having, you can only judge him on his performances. And I think he's done absolutely brilliant. And I hope he opens the door for more people to take it this seriously. Because whether people like it or not, you know, dudes on the level at Logan Paul taking wrestling seriously does mean other entities will take it seriously. Some never will, just because it has a certain stink attached to it. But again, that's just life, as we've already talked about. But no, I love it, and I love to see it, and I actually find it quite inspiring. Do you know what I mean? I really do. Especially since he embraced being a heel. There was certainly some back and forth at the start there, where clearly he didn't want to do this. But now that he has, yeah, wonderful, brilliant, excellent.
Yeah, it's just about taking that heat on and running with
just
it.
Just understanding, yeah. People hate you, bro. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Make some money. Make some money.
That's exactly it. You know, they always say about, you know, turning yourself up to 11 and whatnot. And if I think Logan Paul's doing a great job of doing that.
Yeah.
And also, you know, not just in terms of his in-ring performance and whatnot, but his awareness. The clip was going about at the weekend of the catch that he made on Ray.
Oh,
just
amazing.
As Lolle Ray was going to lop himself in his head. You know, that's not something you can really teach. That's just awareness and
instincts.
Instincts. What I was going to ask you next was, in terms of you balancing the YouTube side of things with the in-ring, how do you sort of keep your mental health well, I suppose, in terms of how do you kind of step back from wrestling? Because obviously you've got, you know, this massive following online where you're giving out content, where you're watching hours and hours of wrestling every week, you're training, you're performing weekends whenever you can. How do you step away from it? What do you do to kind of chill out from the in-ring stuff?
So my girlfriend would love to be in the room right now, because she would interrupt. The truth is that I don't, is the honest truth. This is very much a 24/7 lifestyle, which, again, that sounds way too over the top, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. But, you know, most people understand how wrestling works. There's a lot of long drives, opportunities come up from nowhere. So, you know, this weekend, for example, I'm down in Weston-super-Mare on Saturday, then I'll be in Manchester on Sunday. Friday I'll be down in London, so you know there's a lot of traveling going on there, and then the YouTube stuff doesn't stop. So you know, you got to get ups and downs done for Raw on Tuesday, you got to get Dynamite done Thursday, SmackDown Saturday. Yesterday, for example, we had two ups and downs to do just because there were so many YouTube shows on. So at the moment it doesn't shut down, it doesn't go away, and I guess, you know, if we're being completely honest, I'm usually very good at balancing it. I just am. I think I have accepted that I have a very, very cool job and I'm very, very blessed to do what I do. But again, there's always an action to every reaction, or whatever the flippant phrase, other way around. And the secret of YouTube is it doesn't stop, and you have to be happy with that. You have to just give yourself to it every single day, which I am doing. With that said, with the Impact stuff and with some other stuff I was doing and with the YouTube stuff and just with X, Y, and Z, yeah, the last 2 weeks, or let's say last 3 weeks, the last week I've sort of balanced out a bit. Even I found my limit. Like, I was getting like 2 hours, not just ha-ha, funny, literally 2 hours sleep a night. I remember one day I woke up, I had like 90 minutes, and I honestly thought, like, I can't keep doing this. I'll actually kill myself. And not in a funny way. Again, like, my body eventually would just shut down and be like, what are you doing?
100%.
So, and look, I'm grateful that all these opportunities came up at once. I mean, I'd rather they were spread out throughout the year, but that's not how these things work. So the truth of the matter is that I basically accepted that for the next however long that I'm lucky to ride this train, I just want to give 100% of it to myself to it, because eventually, as terrifying as it is, I will be 65, 75, hopefully 85, and I don't want to look back and be like, man, why didn't you just give yourself everything to it? And look... If all of a sudden I do find myself, I'm a little bit tired, I'm a little bit down, I'm a little bit this, I'm a little bit that, then I will pull back. You know, I will do. Like, I like to think that I'm quite self-aware and I wouldn't push myself too hard. But ultimately, I do like the challenge. I do like the madness. And as I said, even when I was knee-deep in all of the craziness and walking around like a zombie, I said to a friend of mine, the following Tuesday was my first proper day off in terms of being at home. I said, what will happen is I get up, I get Raw done, and it'll get to like 1 p.m. and I'll be like, I'm bored. Exactly what happened. You know what I mean? As soon as I've got my sleep back, I want the madness. I want the craziness. Yeah. I want to be run off my feet, because I understand that there's a shelf life to all of this stuff, especially when it comes to YouTube. We don't know what the future of YouTube is. It could go away tomorrow. So I think, actually, to answer your question a little bit better, the gym certainly does help. The gym has always been my, as silly as it sounds, my safe space and the place where I don't think about things and my sort of, you know, my brain flutters away to somewhere else. So I always make sure I get my training sessions in. But otherwise, yeah, it's very much YouTube wrestling, YouTube wrestling, YouTube wrestling. But, and look, there's nothing wrong with doing this. I don't mean this in a bad way. But I could be working in a shop, or I could be working in an office behind a computer and not particularly liking my job. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things. But for me personally, I don't get any stimulation from that, and that's what I'm aiming for. So it's pretty cool that, again, I've made a YouTube video today. I make one when we're done here. Then I go wrestling this weekend. So yeah, it ticks a lot of boxes, and I feel pretty happy that I'm able to do it.
So that was Simon Miller of What Culture. He will be back on next week's show for the second half of the interview. If you're not listening to us, then you should definitely be listening to his ups and downs or watching him on YouTube. and everything else that he puts out on YouTube, because it is very, very good. Now that takes us on to page 3 for this week's Daft Cheat, where we look for the most titillating bits of gossip across the world of the squared circle. Lewis, we'll let you take a stab at this one here. What has been your most gossipy bit of stuff from the past week in wrestling?
By sort of going through my last few weeks of picks here, I definitely need to branch out and watch more AEW, because people must listen to me and go, what is he going to speak about Raw or SmackDown this week? So by ignoring that again, I'm going to talk about War Games. So it was announced last night on Raw by Adam Pearce. I don't know whether you would say it was better, worse, different to William Regal's announcement of War Games, but you'll have to find that yourself. He announced that there's going to be a 4v4 War Games, which is, in my mind, the first time that's happened. Which makes me think, and everyone else on the Wrestling X or the wrestling world think that there's going to be another man for each team. So you've got Cody, Jay, Seth, and Sammy versus the Judgment Day. So JD McDonagh, Dom, Finn, and Damien. And there's always 5 men in a team. Am I being petty and unfair to us? There's 5 men in a War Games team.
I think that's generally.
I think so.
It's a general thing.
All the women. All the women. There's been a few good.
Yeah. Sorry.
Women's War Games matches as well.
Yeah, or NXT sometimes does the 3v3v3. But this looks like there's going to be an extra man in each. And I, with it being in, I'm not going to touch on this too much, I'll let everyone make their own decisions, but with it being in Chicago, who knows who's going to appear, you know?
Taco from the league, that's who I've heard it is. That's maybe quite a niche reference there. I don't know if any of you have ever watched The League. It used to be on Netflix. It's a sitcom set in Chicago about 5 unlikable guys that are in a fantasy football league. And one of them's called Taco, and he sings the inappropriate songs at kids' birthday parties and stuff. Niche
sounds
reference.
Sounds like he'd be good in that. got a good promo. But yeah, Randy Orton's been thrown out. Mm-hmm. He's been off screens for a long time. I remember, I think it might have actually been this podcast that we were speaking about. Randy Orton's been away for so long that we were speaking back, must have been June, maybe even March, whenever we, May, sorry, started doing this. There was 3 names we said might be back at SummerSlam, and it was Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, and someone else as well. So that just shows you what's happened in the last however long, many months. He's been out for a while, you know. So it's surely time that Randy Orton comes back on our screens at some point. It's been about a year, has it?
I think it's over the year now, yeah.
Over a year.
Is War Games the best?
My first thought as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, is that the match to go for when he's got a back injury or coming back from a back problem? Maybe not.
Yeah, he's not the sort of wrestler that would. I don't think he would appreciate a War Games, put it that way.
No,
he would get told to go up to the top rope and fall off of it and go, nah.
I mean, unless he's the last guy.
He can do, yeah, exactly, yeah. But he can create an unbelievable match by walking around the ring for 20 minutes. You know, he can just hook you in. So him coming back should either be a 10-second squash match or his style of match that he'd want. So I think Judgment Day-wise, going back to Drew, I think it would be good to see Drew, because Rhea Ripley gave him a sort of little shrug when she walked past him at Crown Jewel saying, I told you, You know, I told you to join us. I think Drew on the Judgment Day side, and then Mr. Chip Magnet himself on the Faces side.
The Miz?
Would be a good battle. What was that?
The Miz.
The Miz. Fuck it, put him on. But no, yeah, it's interesting. Again, WWE right now, it's very predictable a lot of the time. However, it's gotten around sort of Raw side more. It's got a bit more unpredictable, which is good for the sort of diehard wrestling fans that jump the gun and know everything before it's happened, so they're never really satisfied. One of those. So I have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to War Games. Looking forward to Survivor Series. Just looking forward to the wrestling scene as a whole. Right now, it's on the up, and I'm here for it.
Cool, Billy. What's your taking this? I know that you'd mentioned earlier on that War Games was going to look like toy soldiers or small soldiers. Was it with the poster that came out?
Yes. Yes, Major Chip Hazard himself, Cody Rhodes. I don't know. War Games is a weird one because the only important bit of War Games is once everyone's in. So with it being 4-on-4, it speeds up the process. So if there is no extra man either side, then it's not going to be 50 minutes of plunder and smacking about and then 5 minutes of the actual important bit of the pinfall at the end. So I wouldn't see Drew on one side and Orton on the other. Maybe that would be cool. Orton just comes in right at the end, the last entrant, RKO's someone, and then that's the big triumphant thing. But at the same time, it means we've got to endure 50 minutes beforehand before we actually get to the bit that's actually important. I mean, it's different for a Raw Rumble. Raw Rumble's that kind of length, but fun stuff happens in between. There's no jeopardy in a War Games match until the end, you know?
When you think of War Games compared to AEW's Blood and Guts matches, you know, within the first two or three men going into that, somebody's burst open. You know, there's blood pissing everywhere, or somebody's, you know, dislocated a knee at some point in that. And you know that War Games isn't going to be as violent as what Blood and Guts is. So as you said there, you know, it's going to be a party match for the most part until everybody comes in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are the guys that have been mentioned, are they, you know, equipped to carry that match for that while? I know that, you know, obviously Cody can do it. But, you know, as with some of the selling that I've seen JD McDonagh do over the last wee while, is he going to Ziggler his way through, you know, 45 minutes of getting hit with bin lids and kendo sticks and stuff? I don't know if I'd be up for that.
I know, I get what you mean in terms of it would get to a point where, say it was a 2-on-1 against JD McDonagh, they'd just be sitting there going, He's lying there, fucked, but we can't pin him. You know what I mean? Just waiting on people coming in. It's like, we'd have this match done here. So I think it's the case of they need to position it where it's, I don't want you to come in because I want to just keep battling this guy for the next however long I can. I don't care about winning this match. You know, it's not about the win that matters. It's about just completely destroying each member of that team. So whether it's the Judgment Day get the advantage, which I'd imagine they will, because the heels always get the advantage in these games, them just taking out, say it was Sammy first.
Was it not last year that the Faces had the advantage?
There was one year where it switched.
Was it the one in NXT with Kevin Owens?
Yeah. Or was he not? Did he not come in last?
No, I think it was last year. I think it was NXT versus Black and Gold versus 2.0. I think the Faces had the advantage in that one.
Mm.
Could be wrong, but I think it was.
It was one of them. But yeah, it's usually the heels. So I think they either completely change it up and have an original idea of why we've got this 30-minute match before anyone can actually pin anyone. Or they just go with the usual, but have a good sort of wrestling match in between. It can pique our interest throughout the whole thing that makes us kind of forget that we're waiting. Is something you want them to do as well. But I remember not being able to make a podcast when you guys were talking about Blood and Guts. I had it lined up in the chamber when I think Steve was, yous were saying it was really good, but I thought Blood and Guts was just ridiculous at points. Mm. You know, some of the stuff that went on in that, and then you look at WWE where it's sometimes a bit tame in a cage. You know what I mean? You want somewhere right in between that. I think they both go to two levels of extreme inside a cage where you would love an AEW versus WWE in the cage and see what sort of match you got. It would be a perfect mix. Mm. So I think Cody maybe bringing some of that style over, a little bit more hardcore, a little bit more bloody into a War Games match, especially since Dusty Rhodes was a sort of innovator of that. He'll be able to carry it.
Aye.
And I think he'll have a lot of ideas considering it is his dad's match and he'll want a big part in it, whether that's the sort of constructing of the match or him as a performer in it. So yeah, I think there's a lot of talent in there that can do something. I just want to see who the one that can make it pretty hardcore is going to be.
And yeah, with the ones that we know that are in there, and as we touched on at the start of this chat, about if there is to be a fifth man, if the faces start to tease, oh, we've got a fifth man, we're not telling you who it is, and it's building the excitement, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I don't know if they would... they would maybe do it on the SmackDown before the pay-per-view. Say they have like a summit or something, kind of like they had at the old TLC, where everybody's on that. Or if just as SmackDown's going off the air, there's just the static. Just to make everybody that wee bit tumescent. Just to get everybody that wee bit tough, that wee bit hard. Do you think that would be enough to sort of keep you in tenter hooks for the 40 minutes of smashing and bashing, knowing that entrant number 10 is going to be coming out with a wee dog called Larry?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, I mean, if there is a mystery contingent to it, yeah, maybe, but I will probably, if I'm stay up to watch it, that'll be the time I go get a snack or do what I need to do. Piss break. Yeah, I'll fill my time before the last person comes in, because I'll know what the kind of score is during it. But maybe.
Cool.
Chris. I think an idea would be, what if you had some sort of Iron Man rule to it? You know what I mean? Whereas
I like that.
You have the 5 minute intervals between them, but when it gets to the final, everyone's in the cage. Say you've either got 10 minutes or the next pinfall counts double or something. You know, something along the lines of to keep you grasped. Mm. Whereas I think the mystery, I'm a sucker for mysteries. The Royal Rumble is my favourite match every year, purely because there's 60 with the women's one as well, 60 chances of a surprise. So if they throw a surprise in there, even if it's who's a United States Open challenge on SmackDown, where I've got to be up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. for a flight the next day, I'll probably try and stay up to watch it, you know. So I think there's a lot they can do. CM Punk would be a definite ratings lifter if there was a sort of plug or a teaser, he might be there. However, I think it's going to be good either way.
Cool. Billy, do you have a bit of gossip that you'd like us to discuss for Page 3?
Well, I was going to talk about CM Punk, but fuck, everyone else is. So, well, I'm going to go back to one that we talked about a little bit earlier about the CW stuff, because I think it's fascinating. NWA signed a contract with the CW. Then they, on their pay-per-view, wherever it was, they had a cocaine spot with the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell, doing coke, bumping coke on screen. And they, but apparently, this is all rumour, innuendo, etc. Apparently, Billy Corgan was told that nobody at CW, no higher-ups are going to be watching the show. So they did that spot thinking it wouldn't make a difference. And someone was watching it. And now, instead of it being on the CW network, it's they're changing it so it'll be on their app only. And then you got the NXT thing coming in. So is NWA just going to get bumped off entirely for NXT instead? It's just an absolute colossal fuck up by Billy Corgan, and it is hilarious. He is just fucked up royally.
He's nuts. He's a nuts guy.
It's mad to think that, fair enough, Billy Corgan, one of the biggest rock stars of all time, probably not averse to a wee line here or there himself, but when you fought so hard to get NWA back to, you know, a semi-mainstream brand, you know, before lockdown happened, you had that swell of support for NWA Power on YouTube, where you had, you know, Eli Drake, you had Ricky Starks on there, you had Tim Storm, you had you had this really, really retro but cool looking show every week on YouTube that was garnering, you know, a lot of accolade from different people because it was something different. Then lockdown hits, everything kind of goes to shit with it, and Corgan has to try and build it back up to the point where he has got it on, you know, a television network. He's not just on YouTube, he's on the telly. And then for the sake of basically a segment to pop the boys is pretty much where that's been, and just fucking lost it all. It's just mental, absolutely mental to do it.
It's just wild. We thought Tyrus was the worst decision he was going to make with NWA, and he's
might still be.
Get Tyrus back, retirement tour.
Just go all in and have Tyrus on the gear. Just on the next episode, just go come off, fuck it.
Have him lose loads of weight, so it looks like he's just on smack and just go whole hog. But
redemption story.
It's hilarious. It's just hilariously short-sighted from him. Like you're saying, after all the work that he's apparently put in to make NWA... I mean, Rab went on about NWA for weeks in the early days of the podcast. So, it's so funny because it's so tragic and so stupid at the same time.
It's mad. And, like, with NXT taking that spot, it's, like, NXT, whatever variation it is just now, it's not as kitsch as like what 2.0 was. It's not as good as what Black and Gold was. So NWA had the opportunity there to be the CW's thing, its wrestling thing. And now you're getting, you know, decent but not brilliant WWE developmental on instead of this established, you know, legitimate brand of wrestling. That people have loved for decades, even though it's been through some shonky bits over the last wee while, it was still something that the NWA fans could you know access fairly easily in the States. But now I don't really know any Smashing Pumpkins songs to try and make a segue into. I don't know. They won't be on CW tonight. I don't know. It's a mad one, and you know even the fact that James Mitchell's on telly in 2023 seems preposterous to me as well, considering you know he looked like he was dead, you know, 20 years ago in TNA. But coke is a hell of a drug, I suppose. Just keeping them alive, embalming them from the inside out. But cool, both of those again, great picks to go on page 3. The cocaine NWA stuff would normally be salacious enough to get onto page 3 in any regular tabloid, but we're not any regular tabloid, so I think I'm going to go with the War Games chat, Lewis. with the headline, Four Need More to Go to War. Probably looks better written down than it does saying out. I've done enough rhyming this week with these November poems I've been doing. So
if we got a t-shirt, it should just be on the front of it. I promise you, it looks better written down.
Probably looks better written down and wrestling related, but not necessarily wrestling. That'd be the ones to go for. Speaking of which, I really want to do the quiz this week, so we're going to ditch the TV pages. Just to offer up something on it, I'd noticed that there was a rumour that Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White and one of the other guys in Iron Claw, which is coming out soon, have said that they are open to actually wrestling on any American wrestling TV show. So that'd be quite a cool tie-in to see the wee skinny lad from US Shameless and the Bear fighting probably on AEW. I'd imagine.
So Troy Bolton fighting.
Yes.
Troy Bolton and bring Shaq out of retirement as well.
Aye.
We tagged him with them.
Class. We should have talked about that earlier. You know, we were talking about the YouTubers we'd like to see, wrestling the actors we'd like to see. And you know, by all accounts, from watching the Iron Claw trailer, they look good, didn't they? They look like they've been properly trained. I'd imagine Chavo Guerrero's been involved in it because he trains every day to wrestle in films and on telly. So if he's been involved, I'm sure it'll be good. But that's probably as much as we'll talk about the TV pages. Right, I'm going to go for the quiz because everybody loves a quiz. Everybody loves a quiz. And this week we are going to play a game of darts. So what we are going to do is you're both going to start. I'll make it fairly easy. Usually with darts, you'd start at 501, but each of these are going to start at 101. And what we are going to do is yous are going to give me the names of wrestlers who have made an appearance at WrestleMania. And the object of the game is to get down to zero in the way that you're doing darts. So you're trying to get a finish, basically. So I'm just going to pull this up here. What was the website? And again, this is based on numbers that I'm finding on profightdb.com. So, Lewis, seeing as you got the most headlines in, Billy, you will throw first.
Okay.
So, he's supposed to start with 101. So, Billy, what we'll do is we'll take it in turns to go through on here. And all you need to do is name a wrestler who you think has appeared the most at WrestleMania.
You see the end, just before this starts. You see, say we got down to four. See if you said a wrestler that got five, do you bust?
You're bust, so you need to wait your turn to go again.
Got you.
So that's where we could be here at midnight. Billy, you are on 101. Give me the name of your first wrestler, please.
Well, we'll start off very easy. The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. He has wrestled 27 matches. So while I try and work that out...
Lewis is raging.
That's absolutely gross.
So that's 27, so 101 take away 27 is 74? Yep, 74. And Billy, just as a wee aside, do you know what the Undertaker's record from those 27 matches is?
Well, I think it's 25 and 2.
25 and 2 is like, no extra points, though. Right, Lewis, you throw here.
I'm going to make myself look ridiculously silly if I forget people here. And I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is 17. So 101 takes 17 is 84. I should have got a pen to write this down. Hang on a wee minute.
He's got a terrible win. A terrible win loss record, if I remember rightly, as well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm sure he's only won like is it six times or something?
Something like that. Something ridiculous.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's been a heel a lot of the time, though.
Well, that yeah. But yeah, he always puts on the best matches, but yeah, he doesn't always actually win them.
Right, so 101, 101. Lewis was...
I think I know what your third name was, and I'm going to get it.
74, 84. Shawn Michaels' record was 6'11".
There you go.
6'11". That's horrific.
Can I get an extra 10 points deducted for that?
Oh, you do not. Right, now that we've got the scoring system properly in place, we'll come back to you, Billy, for your next one.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, 12.
Solid. Solid. Oh, fuck. I just realised what Lewis is going to go for. Right.
Lewis. Lewis before.
He wasn't one of my two.
Yeah, I've just realised who the other one might be. But go for it.
John Cena.
John Cena, 16.
Fuck.
So, Lewis, you are down to 68 now. So it's 62, 68 in favour of Billy. Billy, your thought?
Okay. Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. Where's Roman Reigns? Need to do an F search here. Roman. Where are we? Where is Roman?
I think he's had like 60.
He's had 60.
All main events.
10. Roman has had 10. With a record of 8-2. Lewis to throw.
Triple H.
The Hunter Hearst Helmsley. 23 appearances at WrestleMania.
Wow.
Which takes you down to 45. Lewis, you are now in the lead.
That's a great shout.
Back to you.
Shite. Okay. Bret Hart,
14. So you're down to 38 now, Billy. Bret Hart with a record of 8-6. There's some pretty big hitters that you haven't hit yet.
It's also like 10 o'clock at night.
Right, Lewis.
Kane,
yes, 17 appearances for the Big Red Monster, which takes you down to 28. Kane's... is it widely known that Kane's Spanish? Is that something that I've just missed?
Born in... Was it Madrid he was born in?
Army base, wasn't it? Something like that. Edge.
Adam Copeland, 14. Takes you down to 24, Billy. Lewis?
Am I on 24 as well?
Are you on 28?
28. Big Show.
Well, Paul White, 15. Right, you are down to 13, Lewis. So effectively, you could be on a finish. Billy, yourself?
Chris Jericho.
14. So you are down to 10. Oh, it's getting exciting now. Right, Lewis, 13.
I'm on 13.
13 or bust. There's only one on this list that is bang on 13 as well.
I'm going to try and undersell myself here and just try and not get it. I'm going to go for Jeff Hardy.
Oh, Jeff Hardy. Is he close to Matt Hardy? Nope. Jeff. Jeff Hardy, 6 with a 1-5. Jeez, he's only 1-1. 1 minute.
I'm fine with that.
So that takes you down to 7. Billy, 10. If you can pluck a 10 out there to finish.
The Miz.
The Miz was 13, so you're bust on that one. That was the one that could have got you out. So, Lewis, back to you. 7 to get.
Do we include Battle Royals?
It includes everything, including... So this is just main show, so no dark matches, no pre-shows. So if there's been a Battle Royal on the main show, it is included.
Is it a Seven.
Seven.
Give me Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose. He's not seven, and I don't think he's going to be more than that. Dean Ambrose. Where's Dean Ambrose? He's not seven anyway, and so yeah, you are still in the game there. But yeah, you're bust. You're bust. Must be more than that.
He's more than seven.
I can't do an F search on this. Oh no, I can. Dean Ambrose. Oh, he's not on it. I wonder if he's under John Moxley in this. Tension. Oh, he's under John Moxley. That's why I couldn't find it. Four. So that's you down to three now.
Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus. I wish I'd known that was there. Trish Stratus, Billy, you need 10. And Trish has 6 with a 4-2 record.
Okay.
Right, Lewis.
How many do I need?
You need 3.
Give me Austin Theory.
Austin Theory.
I think I've got 2. I think that's 2.
You know what, Lewis? You finally won a quiz on the Daft Sheet. Austin Theory.
Come on!
3 appearances with a 1-2 record. Lewis, congratulations on winning Wrestling Darts. How does it feel? How does it feel?
Terrific. Absolutely amazing. It's probably the highlight of my
game. No, that was an ace game. We didn't know what you were going to do with Wrestling Darts, but that's a fucking cracking game.
It's pretty good.
Got one more round there.
I stole it from another podcast I was listening to the other week there. But it's all right. It's all right. There's no such thing as a new idea when it comes to radio.
Next week.
Next week. We'll see what we can come up with for that. But well done, Lewis. It's been a pretty eventful episode for you. Not only did you take the headline wins, but you took the quiz as well.
It's only took me 13 episodes.
It's only took me 13. I mean, this is what, episode 17 this week, I think. So we're getting close to the 20. We're getting close to getting those t-shirts we talked about earlier made. So just in closing, we'll go back through the headlines. So the front page on this week's Daft Sheet is Logan Paul hits his prime for US title win. The back page was well-oiled machines still motoring on. Page 3 was 4 need more to go to war. And we finished off with a quiz, which Lewis won. So thanks once again to Simon Miller for being this week's centrefold. Billy, Brian, Barry, thank you very much for your contribution this week. It's been great to talk to you again.
Thank you. I'll have a fourth name next time.
Yep. And Lewis, you finally got that victory you've been looking for in the quiz. So well done on that.
I'm going to bow out on that.
Good stuff.
You'll never see me again.
Good stuff. Well, I've been Chris Jack, as always, back in the editor sheet. Before I go, if you fancy donating to Movember, if you've been following me on Instagram, you'll see that I'm doing a poem a day about people that are testicularly compromised to help raise funds for Movember, the mental health and the testicular cancer side of things as well. So if you just follow me or at ChrisJack85, Chris with a K, on Instagram or even on TikTok, you'll find the link there and you can donate if you like that kind of thing. There is a poem on there about the time Tommaso Ciampa burst Alistair Black at the Times bollock into 7 pieces. So you can go scroll through that and see how that was. I cannot think of anything worse to happen. And the fact that he got it put back together, like, you know, that, as I say in the poem, the anti Humpty Dumpty, they put his egg back together.
I don't think Zelina Vega could think of anything worse either, to be honest.
Nah, feel sorry for him that. But on that note of Zelina Vega fondling Tommy N's broken bollock, however you enjoy your wrestling over the next week, make sure you keep it daft and keep it sheety.